I see it's about 1 minute before 9 o'clock. The Sunday school is supposed to start at 9 o'clock. I wonder how many boys and girls could we get coming to the front in a minute? Can we do any movement here in a hurry? Not talking about 10-yard dashes exactly, but anybody that would like to come to the front, we really appreciate that because... Oh, here comes some boys. Thank you, boys. Great. Anybody else? I see some... Oh, here comes a boy. That's great. You know, it'd be kind of nice if we fill up these chairs right here because I like to make use of the table here, if you don't mind. And these chairs here. Okay, great. Okay, there's still... seating in the front. Front row seats. Can't ask for anything better. All right. Let's start our Sunday school, as we usually do, with singing. I hope everybody wants to sing. Because we're going to sing for a little while. Here's a boy who's got his hand up. Which number would you like? 46? All right, let's start then with number 46. Once more, this time we're going to ask the girls to sing their part. You see the line that says, and he calls all the G-I-R-L-S. I would like to ask only the girls to sing that line. The next line has B-O-Y-S in it. That line is for the boys only. And we all join in on the rest of the song. So let's try it one more time, and we're going to sing it in parts. All right, hope everybody knows their part. Anybody else have a number? Yes. 47. Next song, 47. Now, the last two are boys. Do I have a girl that has a choice? And yes. 42. I think I heard a number. Jesus loves all the children of the world. All right? Well, let's sing 42. And in that one, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. You like that one? All right. Now, I don't see that on the hymn sheet, but I'm sure we all know it, so we'll sing that next. But first of all, 42. Is there anybody here that's 7? Okay, can you stand up while we sing this, please? Anybody else in the room that's 7 years old? Like all the 7-year-olds to stand up, please. All right, how about 3? Anybody that's 3? 4. Are you 3? You're 4. Could you stand up, please, while we sing this? All right. All right, let's sing. A little child of 7, or even 3 or 4. Very much. You can be seated. I thought it would just be really nice to see how the Lord Jesus wants to save the little children as well as the older ones. And we can be saved when we're only 3, 4, or 7. And all the ages in between and before and beyond too. So anybody can be saved. Now, let's sing Jesus Loves the Little Children. I don't believe it's on this hymn sheet, but we know it. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for little children. Jesus died for all the children, but he's not on the cross today. Where's Jesus today? Can somebody tell me? Yes. Can you tell me? He rose. He rose today. He rose. That's right. He rose again on the third day after he had died. So we want to sing Jesus Lives for little children, too.
Jesus lives for little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus lives for all the children of the world.
Anybody else have a number? I think we have time for maybe a couple more. Yes. 40. Number 40. Number 40.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus
3. And then we'll ask the boys to sing verse 4. All right, so we're going to sing this in parts too. But we'll all join in on the chorus. Okay, girls, can you sing verse 3?
Jesus loves me though I'm bad, and he waits to make me glad, waits to fold me in his arms, keeps me safe from every harm.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Except for one word. Would anybody know what word they were talking about? There's one word I don't want you to sing. It's a little two-letter word, M-E.
Me.
Instead of singing, I want everybody just to point to themselves, okay? So don't sing the word me, just point. That's on the last verse now, and the chorus.
Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. If I trust him, should I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
I think we did pretty good on that, really. Usually catch some on that last me. But I think it's so wonderful. A little song is about two people, Jesus and me. It's beautiful. And we just sing it over and over and over. I never get tired of singing it because, you know, the love of Jesus, it just seems to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. That's the way it works. And it's a wonderful little song. Well, let's sing one more. Okay. Yes? 16. All right. This is perhaps all we'll take time for on the hymn sheet. 16.
Whosoever here shall shout the sound, and the blessed tidings all the world around, spread the joyful news wherever man is found.
Set these hymn sheets aside And let's pray. Let's ask God for some help. So could we just close our eyes and bow our heads while we pray? Father and loving God, we thank Thee this morning that Thou art extending a warm invitation to whosoever will to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for each one in this hall who has come and accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. But we know that there perhaps are those that are not saved, who have never come, who say no or neglect the invitation. And we earnestly pray that they might this very day come to Jesus. We thank You that He is willing and able to save. We thank Thee for Thy love, Lord Jesus, of which we have been singing. We thank Thee for dying on the cross in order to open wide heaven's gate so that whosoever will may come in. And so we ask Thy blessing on Thy word, wherever it's going forth this day, not only here in Lake Junaluska, but around the world. We know Thy desire is that the boys and girls should be saved, and the older ones too. And so we seek Thy help now as we present Thy word, that it might be simple, that each and every one might be able to understand Thy love and the way of salvation and the need of it. Now we just ask these things now and give thanks in the precious, most worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Often at Sunday schools we have memory verses. I don't know if anybody has a memory verse they would like to say today. We're not going to pick on anybody in particular, but if anybody has a verse they learned today and would like to say it, we'd be happy to hear it. All right? Would you like to come up and maybe you could? I don't have to be the only one talking in this.
Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1.
Thank you very much. Beautiful. Anybody else? Anybody else want to say a verse? Would you say it in this?
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12.
Thank you.
Very good.
Very good. All right, that's good. Anybody else? It's not easy to talk into this, I know, but would you like to stand up and say it too?
There is a man which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12.
Very good. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Okay, good.
There is a way which seem right unto a man, but the end thereof are a way of death. Proverbs 14:12.
Beautiful. This is excellent. In fact, I think you boys are enjoying talking into this. Maybe it's not so hard after all. Anybody else? All right. Well, I brought a board here. I'd like to show you something on this board. Hopefully it won't run out of time. But here we have God's Word. This is the Bible. We sang in that little song about Jesus and you and me. The Bible is about Jesus and you and me. It's about God. In fact, Jesus is God. And it's a wonderful thing to think that God has written a book just for boys and girls and for older ones too, to read, because he wants to tell you and me what's on his heart. You know, God has a heart. He has a loving heart. And he loves boys and girls. But there's a big problem, and the problem is sin. And you know, sin has separated us from God. But God in his word tells us how this separation can be taken away so we can enjoy companionship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel. It's the way of salvation. Well, I love this book. And I know, as I look around this hall here today, that most, and I would hope, everyone loves this book. I don't know, though. Maybe you don't find this book very interesting. But I want to tell you, if you start reading this book, you develop an appetite for it, and the more you read it, the more you want to read it, because you find out it's just like a gold mine. You know, in a gold mine, they go way down into the ground, and they're looking for gold. And they spend a lot of money building big machines to get gold out of the ground. But this book that we have in our hands, it's the Word of God, it's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And yet, you know, there are people that find fault with the Bible. Oh, that's terrible. They say bad things about the Bible. I hope there's nobody like that here today. I'm reminded, I heard one time about a young man. And this is kind of a little bit humorous, but it was a story put into a poem. And it was about a young man that went to the barber shop. And there in the barber shop, the barber, he had all these birds sitting on shelves around his shop. They were birds that had been stuffed by a taxidermist. Well, this young man, he goes to the barber, and he thought he knew a lot about birds. And in fact, I think maybe he was studying ornithology. But as he sat in the chair getting his hair cut, he looked at one of the birds. And he began to tell the barber some things about the bird that he didn't think were right. He said, you know, those wings, they don't seem to be set quite right. And that owl there, it was an owl that he was looking at. He's got kind of a strange angle to his head. And he was going on about this particular bird, finding fault with the bird, and really finding fault, too, with the taxidermist that had stuffed all these other birds. All of a sudden, the owl, he turned his head and he blinked his eye. And now you know who felt kind of owlish. He really felt foolish. That was a living bird amongst all those dead birds. He shouldn't have been talking like that about that owl. And yet, you know, we have in our hands today a living book. And there's a lot of books out there. They're dead books. But this book that we have in our hands, it's the Word of God. It's living and it's powerful. And yet there are people today, and educated people, who find fault with the Word of God. Oh, how sad that is. But I hope nobody like that here today. Well, there is a portion of Scripture that I'd like to turn to. It's found in the Psalms. So if you have a Bible, you could look this up. It's found in Psalm 139. And this psalm tells me that God is great. God is great. We read through this psalm. I'm not going to read it all. But it tells us, boys and girls, that there is nothing that God does not know. It tells me that there is no place where God is not present. And it also tells me there is nothing that God cannot do. So, this is a wonderful psalm here. And it starts out with these words, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me, and so on. And then it goes on to say that where can we go to get away from God? Can we go up into heaven? Up into the sky? Can we fly away on a jet airplane to a distant part of the earth in order to get away from God? No, we can't do that. Can we go down into the ground? Maybe into a gold mine. Way down, down deep, and get away from God? No, that's right. We cannot get away from God because He is everywhere. So we learn in these verses that He knows everything, and He is everywhere. And then when we read on, we find out that He has power and He has skill. Now, this is also beautiful. I wonder if maybe somebody could read a verse here for me. This is an interesting verse about light and darkness. Some people think that they can hide in the darkness and that God won't see them. Is that true? No. Could you read a verse for me? No? This verse here tells us about the fact that God can see in the dark. Okay. Can you read that?
Verse
11.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me.
Can you read the next verse?
Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
Thank you. Very good. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes we do things in the day because we cannot see at night. Maybe we want to mow the grass and we say, oh, it's getting dark. We got to get this mowing done before it gets dark, before we can't see. Or maybe we're doing something outside, changing the oil on the car or something like that. And we say, well, we got to get this done before it gets dark. Because, you know, we cannot see in the dark, but God is different. And it tells us here, as he just read, the night is light, and the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to God. Isn't that amazing? Well, this God is a wonderful God. He's a great God. He knows our thoughts. He knows what this boy's thinking right here. And this boy here. And these girls over here. God knows what you're thinking right now. Everyone in this hall, God knows And God is here. God is everywhere. There was a man, he didn't want to hear about God. So sad. And in fact, he had a little daughter. And the daughter was going to Sunday school. And there's some Bible meetings. And would come home and want to talk to her dad about the Lord, about God. And she said, I don't want to hear about him. I don't believe in God. Well, you know, she felt so sad about that. And then one day, the man said, I want you to make a sign for me. And the father said, I want you to say on the sign, God is nowhere. And just what he said to the little girl. And she felt so bad. And he said, I want you to take that sign and you put that on the wall right at the foot of my bed. So when I go to bed at night, I can see what the sign says. And when I wake up in the morning, I can see what the sign says. God is nowhere. Well, the little girl made the sign. And that's one reason I brought this board here today, to show you the sign that she made. All right, now can somebody tell me, what was it that the father wanted his little girl to write on the sign? God is nowhere. Now, can you tell me how to spell that? We're going to start with a... Okay, G... O... D... Good, you got the first word. All right, then what?
I...
Then what?
S... Yeah.
Okay, God is, all right, what's next? In, okay, O, okay, nowhere, what's next?
W.
Okay, what next? No, it's not A. It sounds like, I mean, you could say where, W-E-A-R, but it's the other one. You know, if you say, like, where is he? You know how to spell the word where? If you say, where is he? What do you think? W-E? No, you're thinking E too. Okay. I? No. H. Okay. So now what do we got? N-O-W-H. H. Okay. Good, good. Okay, you got that part. E. R. Okay. Hard time doing this up here. Okay. So she wrote this down. She put it up at the bottom of the bed, and this is what it said. Can somebody read what it says? Yes. Say it again. Good. God is now here. The man woke up in the morning. He saw that on the wall. It was like it was hit by a bullet. Really, it's just like an arrow to his conscience. And God spoke to that man through that sign that little girl put there. And, you know, he come to realize that he was on the wrong track. He needed to repent. He needed to change his thinking, like we heard about last night. And he did. And, you know, he comes to know the Lord, and he comes to be thankful for that little girl whose testimony was so bright and so fresh and so real. And he got saved. And, oh, how happy he was. And the little girl was so happy, too. But you know who was happiest of all? Who do you think? God, that's right. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Now, would you be willing to make God happy here today? If there's somebody who so far has said no to Jesus, would you be willing to take sides with God against yourself and say, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I believe your word. Would you be willing to do that? And accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. I want to be saved now from my sins. You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that brings joy to the heart of God. Well, there was another part to this psalm. Now, we learn how that God knows everything and God is everywhere. But then it tells us about his power. Remember I said there's nothing that God cannot do. And so we find here that David shows us just how powerful God is because he made you and me. And he speaks of it here. He says in verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. When my first daughter was born in the hospital, there came into the room one of the social people there and social worker of some sort. And they were asking us about what we thought of this little girl that had been born now into our family. And this is the verse that came to mind. It came to mind. And so we quoted this verse. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then David speaks about how that God knew us even before we were born and so on. And it's a wonderful thing to contemplate what happens when a baby comes into being. You know, get my board here again. Put a little dot right there. I don't know if you can see it or not. But that's how big you were at one point in time. Did you know that? And at that point in time, in that little dot, there was the plan for how you were to be as far as the color of your hair, shape of your nose, color of your eyes. It was all there in that little dot, the cell. Then it began to divide and divide and divide, more cells and more cells. And this little one starts to form arms, legs, head, and so on. It's amazing. It's a miracle. And then the little one's born into this world, continues to grow. And you know, I'm not a doctor, and I probably should have asked for confirmation on this before I got up here, but I've been told that there's trillions and trillions of cells. This one little cell went from one to trillions. And that's what we're made up of, trillions of cells. And we got nerves running through our bodies. And somebody told me that maybe 60,000 miles of nerve fibers all the way through our bodies. And we got these blood vessels that are carrying blood through our bodies, maybe 100,000 miles. I'm not sure I got the figures right. Maybe it was reversed. But in any case, think about it. How could all this happen? It's because God is great. God, He made you and me. Now, wouldn't you like to know God? Wouldn't you like to be on good terms with God? Wouldn't you like to enjoy His companionship? Wouldn't you like to learn more from Him about what His plans are and so on and so forth? It's all in the Bible. God is so good. God is so great. He made the trees. He made the seas. He made the lakes. He made the elephants like we sing in the song. He made everything. It tells us that without Him was not anything made that was made, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the Creator. Well, boys and girls, we need the Creator. But because we've done bad, we need salvation. And the Lord Jesus came into this world. The Creator Himself goes to the cross of Calvary, and there He was willing to suffer on that cruel cross of Calvary for you and for me, that terrible sin that separates us from a holy God might be forever taken away. He shed His precious blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, He cleanses us from all sin so that we can enjoy happy fellowship, companionship with the God of the universe. Well, it's a wonderful thing to be able to speak about the Lord and to speak about you and me and how that we can enjoy this salvation and this fellowship with God. Well, the Lord Jesus suffered for our sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. God sent His Son to be the Savior. Think about it. God wants you. We sang a little word, come, C-O-M-E, come. A little girl says, that means He wants me. And that's true. He wants you. He's saying, come unto me. The question is, have you come? The worst thing that you could do is not come. That's the worst sin that could be committed in this whole world, is to reject God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. People don't realize that, but that's, I believe, the worst sin. And people are going to go to hell because of that, rejecting the Savior, God's dear Son. Well, I see our time is almost gone. We sing a little song, and it tells us about God's power and how God, He makes the fish to swim. Can everybody do that? Maybe you've done this before. The fish swim, and He makes the flowers to bloom and the birds to fly. And then we're going to sing how He made both you and I, and we're going to end up with how He sent His Son to die, and we make a cross just like this, all right? So let's everybody try to make a fish swim. Who did make the fish that swim,
fish that swim, fish that swim? Who did make the fish that swim?
God in heaven above.
Who did make the flowers that bloom,
flowers that bloom, flowers that bloom?
Who did make the flowers that bloom?
God in heaven above.
Who did make the birds that fly,
birds that fly, birds that fly?
Who did make the birds that fly?
God in heaven above.
Who did make both you and I,
you and I, you and I?
Who did make both you and I?
God in heaven above.
Who did make the fish that swim,
flowers that bloom, birds that fly?
Who did make both you and I?
God in heaven above.
Who did send His Son
to die, Son to die, Son to die?
Who did send His Son to die,
God in heaven above?
Is this over? Boys and girls, we want to close with prayer. there's anybody sitting in your seat here and you want to be saved, you want to be close to the Lord, close to God, you want to enjoy Him, you have to think about the fact that if you're not saved, sin, the bad things in your life, are separating you from God and from the Lord Jesus. But if, as we pray, you ask Him to save you, like David, he said, "Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow." It'll happen to you too. And you can be saved this morning and have those sins all washed away. And you can know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, you're on your way to heaven. You're going to be with Jesus. Just call upon Him. He wants you. He died to redeem you. Only believe His word. Accept Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful message of the gospel for boys and girls and for older ones too. We thank Thee that Thou art so great. We bow in adoration, in awe at Thy feet as we contemplate how great Thou art. To think that Thou dost know everything and that Thou art in every place and that there is nothing too hard for Thee is so marvelous. We think of how that Thou wouldst give Thy Son. No doubt it was difficult to give up Thy dear Son, the one in whom Thou didst find Thy delight, to go to the cross. And there we think of how, blessed God, Thou wouldst punish Thy Son for the sins of all who would trust in Him. We marvel at Thy grace and Thy love, and we praise Thee, we thank Thee for it today. If there's one here who is still in their sins, we do pray that they might turn to the Lord Jesus and call upon Him for salvation, that they might be happy, praising, that they might know with assurance that when Thou dost come, they will go to be with Thee. Or if they die, they will go to be with Thee. So we ask these things now as we commit the word into Thy hands, and do pray for Thy message of the gospel, wherever it's going out this day. We ask Thy richest blessing in the precious, worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.